Now open your Bible with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read beginning at verse 25, and I shall read down through verse number 31. Our Wednesday night services and messages for many weeks and months now have been under the topic, Life More Abundantly. Our basic scripture is John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's all say that together. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now you know what it is. Let's all say it together. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to enjoy our Christian experience. Now, if you have found your place in Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read it after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. We thank thee for December 28, 1994, our last and final public assembly of this year. Help us to realize tonight that we will never, never be assembled again as we are in this moment. Help us to realize that we are here only because of your marvelous grace. Nothing that we could boast of, nothing that we could brag about, nothing that we have to commend us to your marvelous grace, for if we had our just deserts, we would all have awakened in hell this morning. But in your kindness, in your compassion, in your love, you have condescended to where we are to bring us to where you are through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we ask as we look in these verses and see what it means to think about God, to have life abundantly, to enjoy our Christian experience, to know that it's better to be an old-fashioned Christian than it would be to have a title to this world. For this world and the lust thereof and all of the riches and all the wealth and all the power and all the silver and all the gold will turn to ashes. But the eternal verities of God shall live on and on and on and on. Now bless the reading of the scripture to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. I read beginning at verse number 25. Remember, this book was written about 750 years before the birth of Christ. The key word of the book is salvation. Verse 25 says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The reason many people miss the blessings of God is because their concept of God is distorted and their thinking about God is warped. What do you think about God tonight? How big is God in your sight? What is God? Who is God? Where is God? Much of our theology, much of our teaching, much of our thinking about God is clouded about our preconceived ideas of who God is and what God is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to God, we must come with an open heart, a sincere soul, and a clear mind. I'm reminded of the man who said, "I had 1,000 questions to ask God, but when I met him, all my questions were answered." What a philosophy in life. What a credo. Just to admit that when we really know God, who God is, what God's up to, what God's doing, it answers a lot of questions. You see, when we put our faith in God and believe him, a lot of our problems are solved right up front. I think I ought to tell you, there is no way that you and I can discover or comprehend God. You see, God's too big to measure. God's too wise to comprehend. God's too awesome to behold. He's too powerful to harness. He's too majestic to describe. God is, and all is well. If we ever know God, ladies and gentlemen, it will be because he reveals himself to us. John wrote in his first chapter at verse number 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath revealed him. He hath made known him." Remember, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father." Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Paul said in Hebrews, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his person, the brightness of his image and the express image of his person, after he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." God's in business tonight. God's revealing himself in his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. And I think I ought to tell you that God reveals himself only to those who really have a sincere desire to know him. Old man Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I could find him, that I could come to his throne, to his seat." How bad do you want to know God tonight? How sincere is your desire to know? I don't mean just to have a mental knowledge or a mental assent that at one time somewhere there was or there is a God, but to really know God in the full pardon and forgiveness of your sin, in the full measure of knowing who God really is. You see, man's greatest discovery. Now please don't, if you miss everything else I say tonight, don't miss this. The greatest discovery that a man who's been searching for God can make is that God has been searching for him. Let me repeat that. The greatest discovery that a man who's been searching for God can possibly make is that God... Let's turn this one off, brother, and get back on the pulpit, Mike, okay? That God is searching. In the book of Genesis, the very first person we meet is a man by the name of Adam. And Adam disobeyed God, and Adam went astray, and Adam brought a distance between him and God. And you know what God said? The Bible says about God that God went into the garden and called Adam by name and said, "Adam, where art thou?" And I want you to know God was not going as a policeman with a billy club in his hand. He was going as a father. "Adam, where art thou?" Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. God is seeking. God is searching. Now that is not to say we are not to look to behold Him. In fact, Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart." You know, man thinks he's graduated from God. He doesn't need God anymore. We've reached an academic plane, we think, in our lives where God is no longer needed or God is no longer necessary. But I want to tell you that in all of our space age research and learning, though we might think we've reached a plateau of knowledge where we no longer need God, but every time we open the door of technology, we find God standing there, more majestic, more glorious, more magnificent than ever before. God is there. God is here. God is everywhere. My message tonight under the topic, Life More Abundantly, I've entitled, God Wants You to Think About Him. Number one, God wants you to think of Him as being eternal. Look at verse 28 that I read a moment ago. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the everlasting God, that means the eternal God, the God who always has been and always shall be. Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is always. Deuteronomy 33:27. Eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Ladies and gentlemen, everything in your life started out with God. The moment of your conception, it was God. It was God who gave you life. It was God who created man in His own likeness, in His own image, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was God who set in motion all of the universal systems that we have never begun to touch the hem of a garment in discovering their dimension and their depth. But not only can we say with Moses, in the beginning, God, but we can also say, in the end, God. Because He said, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the two, that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. I am A and Z in our English rendering of it. God said, I'm first, I'm last, from everlasting everlasting, world without end. There's no one that can be compared to God. I read in verse 25, look at it again. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? With God, nothing is past and nothing is future. Everything is present. The date on God's calendar is always today's date. The time on God's clock is always the right now time. God sees everything that has ever happened and everything that ever shall happen as though it is happening right now. In a split second, as it were. All of the eons past, all of the ages of the future, everything is with God as though it were right now. You see, when God said to Moses, I am, He said, I am that I was, and I was that I am, and I shall ever be what I was and what I am. The great I am is the God of eternity. God wants you to think of Him as an eternal being. Number two, God wants you to think of Him as being omniscient, that is, knowing everything. Look at the last part of verse 28. There is no searching of His understanding. God knows everything. He knows your name. He knows your birthmark. He knows your birth date. He knows your zip code number, your area code number, your employment number. He knows your marriage license number. He even knows the number of your death certificate, and you haven't even died yet. I kind of get the feeling some of you are pretty close there right now, but for the most part, you're breathing. But God knows the death certificate number. He knows how much your funeral is going to cost. He knows who's going to pay for it. There's nothing unknown to God. There is no way to exhaust the wisdom of God. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. His judgments are past finding out. His ways are unsearchable. His judgments unsearchable. His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it should be recompense unto him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory, both now and ever. So may it be. God knows it all. In the world of nature, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. And he brought him forth, that is Abraham, and said to him, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or number the stars if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. How many stars are there tonight? Somewhere I read some time ago that with a naked eye, an average person can see something like 30,000 stars just looking at the sky at a glance. There are billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. Reminds me of the story when I talk about all those numbers. About the guy who was given to exaggerating things. I mean, everything was far more than, I mean, he just stretched everything. One day his pastor said to him, my dear brother, you need to be careful about, aren't you concerned about overstating, exaggerating? Oh, he said, yes, Pastor, I've shed billions and billions and billions and billions of tears over that. Billions and billions of stars. Did you know that in our one galaxy, the Milky Way, there are 400 million stars, all of which are brighter than our sun? Now, I didn't count them all, but that's what I've read. 400 million brighter than our sun. God is a God of great things. And you know what? He knows every one of them by number and by name. Turn to Psalm 147 and verse 4. Don't take my word for it. Psalm 147 and verse 4 says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Isn't that amazing? God knows every star by number and every star by name. All the world of nature, God knows it all. In the world of historical events, God knows it all. Isaiah 46, just across the page, two or three pages, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. He says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Watch this now. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God knows all of everything out there in the future in your life that hasn't happened yet. God already knows about it. And by the way, isn't it good that God has kept some of those things from us? Suppose you knew exactly everything's going to happen to you from this day until the day of your death. You'd go crazy tonight. You couldn't make it through the night. God is just as wise in his reservations as he is in his revelations. He knows it all. Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knows it all. And you know, here's a bonus. He knows you and he knows me. Insignificant, unimportant, unworthy, undeserving, weak, frail, frustrated, fearful, anxious. In spite of all that's against us, in spite of all of our frailties, God knows us. Job said in his 23rd chapter, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. All of those trials you're undergoing now. You say, oh, why has God got it in for me? Is God against me? Does God not like me anymore? All of the trials, the burdens, the problems, the heartaches, the difficulties, these things aren't coming in your life just to be coming. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God's working out a plan. God's working out a program. God has a purpose. God has a prescription. God has a design for your life. And God knows all about you. Jesus said in John 10:27, I know. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Number three, God wants us to think about him as being omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. Look at verse 26. The last part of that verse says, he is strong in power. Verse 28 says, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. God's power, ladies and gentlemen, is beyond comprehension. The finite mind cannot comprehend the power and might of an infinite God. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, not just abundantly, but exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in Christ Jesus, glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, so may it be. God's power cannot be comprehended because God's power is unlimited. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Aren't you glad we're serving a God of the impossible? A lot of things that seem to be improbable, God moves them out of the realm of the improbable and what we think impossible over into the realm of the possible. Nothing is too hard for God. With him, nothing is impossible. And you know, it's that power that saves us from our sins. You know, we sing that grand old hymn, there's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And that same power not only saves us, but keeps us saved. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God and our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever, so may it be. God wants you to think of him as being the strong one. Number four, God wants you to think about him as the one who keeps you going when the going gets tough. And the going gets tough once in a while. If you haven't reached that point in your Christian experience, you're going to reach it. God wants you to think about him as the one who keeps you going when the going gets tough. Look with me again at verses 29 and through verse 31. He giveth power to the faint. Are you feeling a little faint tonight? He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even he says the young, the strong, the robust may be weary, and the young man may fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, the secret of the whole thing is found in waiting on God. Wait on the Lord, Psalm 27 and verse 14 says. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall renew thy strength. Wait on the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and hath put a new song in my mouth, even a song of praise. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Wait. Four things result from waiting. Number one, renewed strength. Number two, elevation above the ordinary. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Did you ever see an eagle scratching around on the ground? Oh, no. You never saw one light on a low limb? Oh, no. They are birds of yonder, soaring above, mounting up with wings as eagles. Third thing, you can run and not be weary. You know, sometimes we get to running around this, that, and the other, you know, and maybe trying to make people think we're busy, even if we're not, or whatever. And we get a little weary. But if we wait on the Lord, we can run and not be weary. And then number four, we can walk without fainting. Walk without fainting. This is the Christian life, day by day, walking with Him, waiting upon Him. Let me say to you tonight, to walk with God, no strength is lost. Walk on. To talk with God, no breath is lost. Talk on. To wait on God, no time is lost. Wait on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's all. Let's stand for our prayer. As our heads are bowed tonight, let's ask God to direct our footsteps, to guide us, to illumine us, to inform us, to inspire us, to challenge us to be better Christians in 1995, to do more for Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to dedicate ourselves to Him in the days that are just ahead of us. And may God bless you. May God bless you for being in the service tonight. Brother Venable, close our service in prayer.